for sure is from the written word of God. Before we continue, let's pause for prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the word of God which is before us. We thank you for your spirit which inspired holy men to write your words down for us so we might know who you are, what you've done. We could know where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going, and to know the forgiveness of sin and eternal life through Christ. Thank you for those that publish the Bibles, translate them, and distribute them as well to people that do not have Bibles before them. So we thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice in what you provided for us. Help us to understand and appreciate it more this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 19 can be divided into two sections. Verses 1 through 6 is the testimony of creation, and verses 7 through 14 is the testimony of Scripture. And note the extent of the witness of creation. Maybe we can read these first six verses. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run a race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. So notice in these verses we see that, first of all, that this witness is evident at all times. In fact, day and night, God's handiwork. We look up into the heavens, whether it's in the daytime or at the nighttime. We see God's handiwork, God's power, God's wisdom in putting all this together. And if you can't see God in creation, then you are really blind, aren't you? In denial. I heard of a man that did lie detector tests for a trucking company. And he told the owner of this trucking company, said that he's never given a lie detector test to a person and asked them the question, do you believe in God? And they say, no, I don't believe in God. That it's always come out that they're lying. Always. So you're denying the obvious when you deny that there's a God. And we see this in our creation. That's why everywhere in the world you have people worshiping something as God, because they recognize that God exists, or we would not exist. Where did matter come from? There was a Big Bang, but where did the Big Bang come from? So we see at all times, day and night, day unto day, and night unto night, verse 2. To all people, there is no speech nor language where this voice is not heard. It speaks every language at the same time. And in all places, verse 4, it says, their line has gone out throughout all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Everywhere the sun shines, this witness has gone forth. And so everyone has heard. And so we read in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, or Godhood, so that they are without excuse. There's no one in this world that has not had the witness of creation, have they? But there's a limit. Is there not? We see God's power, wisdom, and glory in creation, even of his care for his creatures, but what about sin, guilt, and blame? What about his love and forgiveness and salvation from sin, death, and hell? We need more than this, don't we? We need more than just the creation. But he's given us more in the Word of God. So we see the Word of God in verses 7 through 14. Verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The test of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." So we see that the Word of God is called the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. Praise God, we have the Word of God before us. And the psalmist describes the Word of God in these terms. First of all, by these names. In Psalm 119, which we're not going to study today, this morning, because it's 176 verses, and we probably would be here for a long, long time. But in all those 176 verses, except for a handful, the Word of God is described by these same titles, plus a few more. C.H. Chrisman, in his devotional on Psalm 119, lists the meaning of these names. The law of the Lord, what is that? The laws of heaven for gracious living on earth. Testimonies, the witness of God's own character and will. Statutes, permanent and mandatory principles of God's government. Commandments, declarations of absolute authority. They're not the 10 suggestions, are they? They are called the commandments of God. Absolute authority. That's why we should not take God's word lightly. This is God speaking. He's not given opinions. He's given commands. The fear of the Lord, the attitude one should have to God's revealed will. Judgments, the divine decisions involving reward and penalty. Now, in the Psalm 119, there are a few other names that the Word of God has given. The way, the designated path for pilgrims to follow. Precepts, specific rules of conduct for all who are in the way. The Word, God's expressed will in human language. Counselors, guidance in perplexity and directives along the way. Do you ever need counsel or a counselor? We have it right before us, don't we? It's called the Bible. God speaks to us through His Word. And finally, truth, that which is eternally so. Absolute truth. That's what we have before us. The Word of God, its attributes. Now he says that this law of the Lord is perfect. Testimony of the Lord is sure. Statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It is clean. It is true. It is righteous. These are the attributes of God's Word. It's absolutely perfect, without defect, without error. And whenever an archaeologist unearths a new finding, we find that it does not contradict, but usually affirms the Word of God. People, places, and times, and things that happen have been authenticated by archaeology. These are his attributes. Then we have the effects. What does God's word do? Well, it converts the soul. Aren't you glad for that? Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, or reviving the soul. It gives us life in Christ. The test of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So you may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, The Word of God makes us wise. In Psalm 119, the psalmist there says, I'm more wise than my teachers. And if you know the Word of God and you're in the public school, you are wiser than your teachers usually. Because you know where you came from, why you're here, and where you're going. And they couldn't tell you. They can make some guesses, but wild guesses aren't the same as the truth. It rejoices the heart. Thy word was found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing in my heart. That's what Jeremiah said. It enlightens the eyes. It satisfies desires. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. It satisfies those desires that we try to satisfy with other things, and it just doesn't work. You tried that? Doesn't work, does it? You always come out empty. The Word of God satisfies. It warns against danger, verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. By keeping them, there is great reward. It rewards the obedient. It warns and it rewards. This is a pretty valuable tool, isn't it, to have in your possession. If you want guidance in your life, if you want wisdom and making decisions, if you want to know what is true and what is untrue, take heed to the Word of God. Take time to read it daily. Your daily bread, not your weekly banquet. I'm glad you're here this morning, but this is not enough. Just going to the smorgasbord once a week. You don't do that, do you? You want to eat every day. Word of God is important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then, the precious Word of God. If all these things are true that we just studied in Psalm 19, then these things are true as well. The importance of Bible preaching and teaching churches. You know, many churches that at one time preached the Word of God no longer preach the Word of God. Bible schools. We have the Daily Vacation Bible School tomorrow. Is that important for these little tykes to learn the Word of God? To learn who Jesus is? To learn the truth about where we came from? That we are created in the image of God and that we're important to God, that we are special to Him and He loves us and He died for us. Bible camps, having those this summer. Biblical missions. Why do we send missionaries overseas? Why do we support missions? Why? Because they're going to teach the Word of God. That's why. And the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bible translation. We support Arnie and Ruby Johnson. They're in Mozambique translating scriptures to people that don't have Bibles. They have to create the language, the alphabet, the grammar, everything, so they can translate the scriptures into their tongue. Thankfully, someone's done that for us. Bible distribution. Because not everybody knows. Not everybody has Bibles, do they? That's why the Gideons were founded, were they not? To share the Word of God. I'll tell a little story before I turn it over to Brother Greg. I've been reading the Last of the Giants. Have anybody read this book, Last of the Giants, by Harry Rimmer? God has. But anyway, this book is about the missionaries that came up to logging camps in northern Minnesota. There was 30,000 loggers up here at the turn of the century. You know, you had the big, you know, 4 or 5 foot diameter white pine forests up here. And so these logger barons saw the amount of money they could make. And so they created, they started harvesting it. They had logging camps. And these logging camps were mostly young men that came up, separated from their families. They'd work all winter in the woods. They'd come out in the spring with a handful of cash and head for the nearest saloon or brothel or gambling place. And with a day or two, all their money would be gone. And they'd be sick and they'd have to head back to logging camp with nothing but a headache. Well, there were men that saw this and saw the great need of sharing the gospel with these men, teaching the Bible. So they would go into these camps. They would travel back into these camps. And one of them was named L. Channer. And so he began ministering to these camps, and a lot of these loggers got saved. In fact, there was such a revival that began to having revival services in the towns. For instance, in Big Fork, so many people got saved in Big Fork that all the taverns closed down because they weren't going to tavern anymore. But this Mr. Channer was asked to go up to Upper Michigan to the camps up there. And this was right after the Great Cloquet Fire, 1918. And it was also during the time of the Spanish flu. And this man was sick. He had a family he had to leave behind. He's worn out from the smoke of this fire. And he met a stranger. He went up there, he met a stranger. And when he saw Channer, he asked hopefully, "Are you a doctor?" And "No," Al replied, I'm a minister." The man's eyes lightened up with interest and pleasure, and he said, "Are you going to hold meetings here?" "I can't," Al said. "The governor has prohibited all meetings. There is a ban on them." Sounds familiar, does it not? Very earnestly, the man insisted, "These people are dying. I live among them. I know them, brother. They are lost. Hell waits for them. If you don't tell them about Jesus, you can't pass by and refuse them the word of life." Greatly interested, Al asked, "Why don't you preach to them?" Very sadly, the man said, "Would to God I could, but I forfeited all right to that long ago." This is a man that had started out in the gospel ministry and had gotten involved with drinking and so that destroyed his ministry. With great regret, Al said, "Well, I'm sorry, but there is nothing I can do. I'm dead on my feet. We have advertised no services. There is the governor's ban, and I am powerless." Fiercely, the man cried, "Regardless of the governor or any other earthly power, these poor souls must not perish. You can't refuse to let them know of Jesus." Al surrendered. He rested for an hour, ate a hasty meal, and repaired to the agreed place of meeting. The room was jammed to the capacity, some of the auditorium being so sick and feeble, they lay on the floor to listen. Al was still so tired that he preached seated in a chair, had a deep joy of seeing some of the wretched shanty folk turn to Christ for salvation. People need to know. And how are they going to know unless someone tell them? And how are they going to know for sure unless they have the Word of God before them? The authority. This is how people get saved. They respond to the Word of God. And I'm so thankful for the Gideon, for they as I mentioned the other night, that they're not making money off this. All the money they get goes towards Bibles. And so if you happen into a motel, first thing I do is look, see if there's a Gideon Bible there. And a lot of folks, and maybe Greg will share some of those testimonies of people who have gotten saved through Gideon Bibles. So it's a worthwhile endeavor and certainly biblical. I'm going to turn it over to Greg, and he's going to share with us and show us a little film as well about the work there. So, Greg. You can close in prayer and then turn it over to Daniel. He'll have a final song. Okay.
Everything working? All right. Well, thank you. I'm very, very glad to be here at Grace and Truth this morning. This church used to be my home church. I was a Catholic here, and I was confirmed here. And so for many years, I came here. And it's nice. It's wonderful to see this building living and breathing again with you people on Northside here. I live three blocks away, so I am a Northsider. So anyways, nice to see you here. So we're going to begin this morning with a quick video.
I need you every hour.
God's Word. Powerful and transforming, isn't it? Yet there's some people out there that think that this book is old and outdated. Doesn't pertain to today. You know, it's 2021, right? But they're so wrong, aren't they? Excuse me. They are ancient words that continue to change and transform people. They've changed me, they've changed you, and they continue to change people today, to this day. Those Bibles that you see in a hotel, a motel room, just like this one here, exactly like this one here, actually, they last around 6 years. Some are written in, some are abused, some are taken. Which is okay. You can take the Bible. Take the Bible, not the towel. The towel you're getting in trouble for. Many people check in hotel rooms. Businessmen, people on vacation. Many people that check in hotel rooms are depressed. They're suicidal. They're alcoholics. They're drug addicts. Just like the people depicted in the videos. The struggling businessman looks like he has an alcohol problem. The young family displaced for one reason or another. The young lady apparently having marriage problems and about to sin. But they found God's word, didn't they? And it transformed them. Just like Elliot Ossowitz. Elliot was from North Carolina. Elliot was just an angry man. He's a hateful man. He most certainly hated God. He was very tough on his wife and his children. One Christmas, Elliot's wife told him to leave, to get out. She'd had enough. Elliot grabbed a gun and he left. He was going to go take his own life. But he checked into a hotel room. And in that hotel room was a Gideon Place Bible. Well, it infuriated Elliot to see that Bible on the dresser. It wasn't in the drawer, it was on the dresser. He took that Bible and he threw it on the floor. And he tried to kick it underneath the bed, but it wouldn't go. It had one of those solid foundations, so it wasn't going to go underneath the bed, Elliot. Elliot picked it up, he was infuriated. He was going to throw it away. But it felt warm to him. So he opened it up. And he opened it to John 14:27 is where it was opened. Where it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, but as I give. Let your heart not be troubled, nor let it be afraid." Elliot read that Bible for 3 days. He called his wife, asked her to go to church. Which I'm sure was shocking for his wife to hear that, but she reluctantly went. And on that day, they had an altar call. Elliot went up, and they laid hands on Elliot. And in his own words, he fell flat on his face. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. All because of God's word. The powerful, transforming words of our Lord. Now, Elliot, God wasn't done with Elliot yet. Elliot quit his job and became a pastor. He went to school and became a pastor, and he pastored a church right down the road from that hotel where he was going to take his own life. And you know what? I just checked up on Elliot. He just brought his name up on the internet, which we can do, right? And he pastored a church for 12 years. I didn't realize that this testimony was that old, but it is. And he is now waiting for his next calling from God. Again, the transforming word of God. So if you were to ask people who the Gideons are, everybody here know who the Gideons are? I bet you do. But if you were to ask people out in the street, the few that would know are going to say, yeah. You're the guys that put the motels or the Bibles in the motels and hotels. Yep, that's who we are. And we've been around since 1899. Placed our first Bibles in a hotel in Montana back in, I think it was 1905 or 1906. And we've been doing it ever since. And we still are an organization of Christian men. We're businessmen and professional men. And their wives, the auxiliary. We are over 269,000 strong around the world. And this started with two guys in Wisconsin that had to share a hotel room. And they decided that they needed to have Bibles in those hotel rooms. We're in over 200 countries, territories, and possessions around the world. And our main purpose is to see the lost come to Christ. And we do that primarily two ways. We distribute the Word of God free of charge with your help, with your church's help. We can do that. We distribute copies of God's Word not only in hotels and motels, but to jails and prisons, high schools, colleges, hospitals, homeless shelters, women's shelters, fire and medical personnel, anywhere where we can get in. We distribute God's Word. We also share God's Word through personal testimony. Also, each week the Gideons gather, we gather as Gideons every Saturday, at least a small group of us, and we pray right here on the Iron Range. We gather and pray. We pray for our ministry. We especially pray for the churches in the area and the pastors in the area. And we pray for anything else that was laid on our hearts to pray for. So we're in your area. I live three blocks away, up right here on Northside. I have Jake Grass with me today. He's from the Iron area. He's our newest Gideon, by the way. So we are here. We're in your area. We've distributed to date over 2.4 billion copies of God's Word. And about 1.3 billion of those have been distributed in just the last 15 years. But you know, when you look at the population of the planet, which is right around 7.5 billion people, we have a little ways to go yet, but we're still working on it. And we are in heavily populated areas, like China, which is right now being very difficult on Christianity, but up to that point, we had distributed almost 4 million copies of God's Word in China. We're in India, Asia, Brazil, and hopefully we'll continue to expand. Alfonso Balland, young man from Bogota, Colombia. Alfonso was a lot of trouble. And believe it or not, at the age of 10, he left his home. Joined a gang. He was addicted to drugs. And he had a life of crime. That's what he did, him and his buddies. So lost and so wild that when they encountered the Bogota Gideons, they would always take a couple of these from them and use them, rip out the pages and use them to roll their cigarettes, their marijuana cigarettes. I don't even know what those are called anymore, but that's what they did with them. Finally, one day, Alfonso was rolling a cigarette, and he had a thought that this wasn't a good thing to do, taking God's Word. And he's about to smoke it. He unrolled it. And it was in Revelation 5. Where it talks about who can break the seal and open the scroll. We all know that's Jesus. That goes on, of course, in Revelation 5. But Alfonso, we don't know how long it took Alfonso, but he read. He came to faith through that little New Testament. And what I think is the craziest is Alfonso, God wasn't done with him yet. Alfonso witnessed to his gang members. 12 of them accepted Jesus. 10 are in an active ministry. six of them became pastors. We never know when God is going to use his word to change someone. So what can you do for us? First thing we need is your prayers. Your prayers do sustain us. We also need your prayers that we have a steady flow of funds so we can purchase more copies of God's word to get into the hands of the lost. If you feel led today, you can help us financially. That would be a blessing to you and to the many people who receive a free copy of God's word. All the money that you help us with goes towards the printing and distribution of God's word. These guys here are about $5. These are about $1.25. That's what all the funds that we get from the churches and from individuals, that's what it goes towards. Just look at it as an extension of your ministry. And we truly are an extension of your ministry. Today you have a bulletin insert or an insert that you can use. You can go on to our Gideon website, www.gideons.org. You become a friend of the Gideons. Help us out there. We also have a Gideon card program, which is a wonderful way to donate Bibles also. So there's many ways you can donate, and we appreciate everything that you do for us. We need your help. Last but not least, I want to talk to the men. I mentioned before, we're 269,000 strong, but we need new members. The Gideons are getting old. Like I said, we started in 1899. I think some of those guys are still around. Right here in the Iron Range, we have quite a few guys who are in their 80s. Jake is our youngest guy as of now. I'm 60 and I'm one of the younger ones. So we're looking for new members. It's not difficult at all to be a Gideon. We don't ask too much of you at all. You need to be a member in good standing, be recommended by your pastor, be some sort of a professional or businessman. I'm a salesman, but my title says account manager. So that's what got me into being a Gideon. So anyways, we're looking for men. So that's about all I have for today. I just want to thank you, thank Grace and Truth, thank you, Pastor, for this time today. And God bless all of you. I just want to end in prayer, though. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time this morning in front of these wonderful people.